Hey everyone, welcome to My Opie Movies. This week we continued the gravy train of big, well, I was gonna say big movies, but movies many of you thought we should have done or have already done but hadn't. As we do 2003's The Room, a notorious movie, a bad movie, a really bad movie. And this is a good form to talk about it in because no one has to clean up spoons as people throw them at the screen. Anyway, we continue our season now. 402 and 403 on into forever. So we thank you for your support. We thank you for doing what you do. And we thanks for making us the big hit that we are globally. And that's all because of you sharing and reviewing and doing those things. Thanks, everyone.
Welcome to My Opie Movies. This week we are 399 episodes from when you first heard us, at least some of you. But because not only is this almost a momentous occasion, I have my favorite people around me, my co-host Daniel, but on the 5-year anniversary of being on Cineprob with these two lovely ladies, we have...
I'm Candace.
And I'm Fitzy.
We're friends.
Yes, we are.
And they've obviously been regulars on the show, especially in the last season or two. But also, of course, we are coming out of quarantine and hopefully returning to the plaza. By the time this comes out, we're planning our first shows, so I will release this about.
No, I have to be the one who asks, what show?
We don't know yet. We're trying to figure it out, whether or not we can get the legal rights to anything or it's going to be public domain. But you know what? It'll be fun to be back in front of you as opposed to via the Facebook page and via some Vimeo videos.
I don't know. I kind of like being in people's living rooms.
Invited her. Are you a vampire?
Well, I have invited them.
Didn't you know that?
You did, and I've never left.
That's right.
I've just been living in your basement this whole time.
So we've got an honor event. We did a movie we promised we would never rip because now there's kind of a, you know, there's a teleplay. There's an acting out.
There is.
Almost a Rocky Horror level fandom.
Truth.
So we're doing The Room, starring Tommy Wiseau, produced by Tommy Wiseau, written by Tommy Wiseau, and starring Tommy Wiseau, and directed by Tommy Wiseau, and thrusted by Tommy Wiseau.
And funded by Tommy Wiseau for money we have no idea where he got it from.
Well, apparently, the first woman listed, Chloe something,
yes,
was his ESL teacher, and she had a bunch of money that he got stuff from, too?
Oh, I thought he, like, found this ratty-ass clothing store in San Francisco where he would, like, import cheap jeans from Thailand
you
or something.
You all know this is all a lie, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
He is obviously, like, a money-laundering warlord from, like, Serbia. I mean, you know
this,
right?
I'm a lord of Warmark. Well, Kosovo.
You know, I always wonder what happened to Milosevic's child.
That's right.
It's only supposed to be our land.
That's right.
You are telling me about Croatia!
That's right.
I'm sure you've all seen this, you've seen it with audiences.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Tommy was so hugged me once. It was a proud moment in my life.
I have hosted this twice on stage alongside Greg Sestero and twice with Tommy Wiseau. And Tommy told me I was so funny that I should be in Hollywood, which confirmed right then and there that I should never go to Hollywood, if that's what Tommy thinks.
Now, this was a couple years before we met, but I'm pretty sure I was at one of those shows Candace hosted.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you were at the show. Just then, you were just a hot guy in the audience, and now look at you. We're buddies.
That's right.
This is only the second time watching it for this. This is only the second time I've ever seen this movie. So
no
I'm
kidding.
I'm a newbie.
Wow.
In this
How long was it on Adult Swim for when they do April Fool's gags?
It's been a while. I don't think they do it anymore, in fact.
After they stopped doing Neighbors, I think they stopped doing it.
No.
So,
I first saw it.
Well, once Riff Trax got bought into this.
Well, I think they own it.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. Because I have a friend who's a game designer who was going to create a game called Room Full of Spoons. And it was a room-based game. And they wanted $25,000 just for the rights to use that name. And I was like, y'all, it ain't that good. Stop.
And that's kind of what's weird about this movie. Like what's that guy, Neil Breen? Who does, like, bad movies, like a real estate agent. Like,
he's a Vegas real estate agent who keeps casting himself as the Messiah in all of his movies.
Or, like, you know, the guy who did Birdemic. This isn't those. This movie's almost trying to say something. It's very strange. I don't know what to make of this.
So, who's seen not seen but read The Disaster Artist.
I've read The Disaster
Artist. Yeah. Okay. That goes way, way into detail about the inspiration behind this. And apparently this is supposed to be a remake of The Talented Mr. Ripley.
It is. And in fact, I have one of the original scripts of The Room that was not filmed this way that Greg was selling. And he brought one to me and he signed it.
Oh, nice.
And then we did a little script reading at the theater, including a rape scene.
Oh.
That was cut out, which, P.S., awkward, would not recommend again, one star.
With Tommy Wiseau.
Yes, because in the original script, Lisa is raped by Greg Sestero. It's by Mark.
The fuck are you talking about?
Yes, it is a very... Things got real unhinged real quick. But in the original script, he's also a vampire.
Oh.
And he flies away in a car at the end.
Oh, like
I
Greece.
Should have brought the script. Okay, the
yes.
next time we hang out, I'm bringing the script.
No. The next time we do it, it's a dramatic reading and we cast it.
Nice.
Dibs on Chris R.
I don't even know what roles there are. It might be so different. You don't maybe, what is it, Michael? And who are those two people who get a blowjob in the middle?
Oh,
Michelle, her boyfriend.
Michelle, yes. Maybe they're also vampires? I don't know.
Only Tommy is a vampire.
No shit. Yes.
Yeah.
Then how was he able to go out in the daylight?
He's a daywalker.
Oh.
My God, there's so much of his ass on the screen right now. Watch this as we go.
We're not really watching it as an over-exaggeration. It's just kind of... in the background, like music at a thrift store that nobody wants.
It's all in the background. My pants are unzipped. We're having a good time.
Oh. Candace is talking about removing her bra. We're all there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's gone.
What the hell is she humping in that one scene? I mean, that is clearly her thigh.
Yeah. Oh, and we're seeing her right boob right now, which, by the way, right nipple, excellent. Lisa's right nipple is on point.
Quality nipple. Yeah. It's fourth cast. Yeah.
We're going off the rails. We have not done our traditional opening where someone gives a synopsis of the film.
I dare you to give me a synopsis of this film.
Okay.
All right. So Johnny America is the greatest hero and the greatest person that anyone has ever met.
And vampire.
He is also a 70-year-old, like 30-something, in love with this woman named Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, Lisa.
But in a scene we're watching where her boobs are just out for no reason, and he's apparently in a sex, like, rictus, she looks over to him for an embrace, and he's already asleep, and that, at that very moment, decides to start cheating on him with his best friend,
Mark. We call
Mark.
That the David Duchovny of sex life.
That's right. And so Mark, even though they are engaged, living together... everything kind of unwinds because she falls in love with Mark over an indeterminate amount of time.
Oh my God, yes, that was so weird.
Also, to be clear here, there's going to be 3 sex scenes in the first 30 minutes of the movie. So if you can survive the first half hour, you can survive this.
Yeah, clearly.
We just saw a whole lot of man ass.
Essentially, what this movie is... everyone in the entire cast trying to convince us that Johnny is the greatest person, including her mother, who's dying of breast cancer, and whose brother is trying to steal her home, including the rest of the cast, including Denny, who, what I assume is a special needs child who is doing heroin and living with them and watching them have sex. And in the end, she decides she wants to be with Mark by making out with him at Johnny's birthday party.
Good thinking.
Because that's what you do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
With the door closed, him inches away, getting him drunk on scotch watered down with vodka.
Scotchka. It's what we refer to as scotchka. We used to serve it at the plaza. On room nights, we would serve scotchka and see who could take it.
You know I don't drink.
I ordered a pizza.
I'm dying, right?
I'm trying to remember the first time I heard about this movie, now that I think about it. It came out in 2003 in L.A.
I mean, I know when I saw it. I was listening to an old podcast called How Did This Get Made, which I think is still around, but like,
oh, yeah.
They did, it was like their 20th episode, and Greg Sestero was on it, and they were talking about it, and everything else they had done before, I had heard of or seen or been around to one degree or another, and they talked about this, which was nonsense, and I Googled it. And I saw the billboards he put up around L.A.,
yes.
And I got sucked down the rabbit hole. Well, about 2 years later, they did it for Riff Tracks. And I told Sudsy, because buddy Sudsy here, he was like, you haven't seen this? I'm like, no. And so we went to his house to watch it straight before we saw it for Riff Tracks. And that was, God, I don't know when they did that, probably 7 years ago now?
Something
six,
like that,
six
yeah.
6 years ago? So that was my introduction. But like, this, I mean, and we'll talk about this in context, but this movie's like nothing else you've ever seen. And
yeah.
I was debating whether or not we should even do this, but like, the problem is what ruined it for everyone is Sharknado, which is, I think, intentionally bad. This is not intentionally bad. This was
he made this with the intention of being a great film. He watched it one night with the audience. He realized he had failed miserably. And then being the very smart promoter that Tommy is, because even though he is bizarre as shit, y'all, he is brilliant. Okay, don't let him play you. He immediately flipped the switch and said, you know what? It's a dark comedy. It was never meant to be a dark comedy, y'all. It was meant to be a drama. And he's a smart guy. And he realized that this is a lemon. I'm going to make lemonade. And he made Chick-fil-A lemonade. Like, people are paying top dollar for this shit, y'all.
I have no doubt he's a brilliant promoter. I wouldn't say he's a smart guy based on what he does with this movie. And again, I love the guy. He hugged me. I still have my signed copy of the DVD.
Yeah.
That I got from that evening. And I saw, I think, the first episode of Neighbors when that came out. And unfortunately, that's gone from Hulu. I'm still depressed.
It is. I can lend it to you. I have it on disc.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I think he gave it to me on, like, I don't know if it's on Blu-ray or DVD or something like that. But it was a while ago. So it might be as old as a DVD. So. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, based on the technology of this, it might be a Betamax.
Actually a cassette tape that apparently in a phone, like an answering machine, records for 4.5 days without ever having to be reset.
Oh, hi, Candace.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Candace. Mm-hmm. I know you're a fan, so I got you this tape. Would you like to watch it?
Yeah.
It's Speed Racer by the end.
No.
But yeah, so I think you do a pretty good job giving a synopsis there of the film.
It's a love triangle between Greg Sestero. Who's the actress that plays Lisa?
No one knows.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I have a feeling she'd be happy if she died in anonymity. Because, like, it's not like she's going to show this picture to her kids. Oh, there's Righty. Good old Righty. Well,
she's smart. She should. And be like, listen, stay in school. You know, don't join a Rocky Horror cast. This can happen to you. Trust me, I've lived this life. I am Lisa. Okay, don't be Lisa.
The actress's name is Juliet.
Juliet.
And she's been in some, I mean, she has 17 credits. She hasn't worked, but, you know.
Well, you know, Greg, prior to this, he was an Italian underwear model.
He was also in a Puppet Master movie, if I recall correctly.
Right,
wasn't he also in Patch Adams briefly?
He was an extra on that during the funeral scene, if I recall.
And in Gattaca as well.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, shit, I love Gattaca. That is such a fucking good movie. If y'all ever do that, please invite me.
I'm glad to.
I love that movie.
But the second I said that, I bet you it makes sense. Yeah. Him with his shaved beard, he's one of the perfect people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. God, he is so sexy. He's beautiful.
But anyway,
I think where the film really falls apart and becomes unconvincing isn't just Tommy, because he's still a charming presence, even when everything he's doing is completely weird. It's the actress playing Lisa.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's very nice. And according to the disaster artist, it was literally, I just got off the bus from Kansas to make it big in Hollywood. And this is what she was cast in.
And she didn't make it in Rock of Ages. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well.
Because she stole her records.
Right? It's what makes this film weird is not all that other stuff that's happened, but it's this weird, forced, very fast forced relationship between her and Mark.
Well, I couldn't figure out.
She's just doing it because she's bored. That's my favorite part of this. She's like, I'm so bored.
You know,
it reminds me of the Triangle People. Have you ever seen those cartoons where it's Triangle Man and they're on a cloud and they get bored and they eat people? Anyway, I'll send it to you later.
Okay.
Well, in order for this character to work, it's not even that she's a bad actress. And again, no ill will, but she's not good. It's that this isn't what the character should be. They need like an Ava Green figure, or like, I don't know, I'm going to reach back here. The woman from Double Indemnity.
Barbara Stanwyck.
Yes, thank you. They need a seductress like that who's manipulative and who can really just be the femme fatale that I guess Tommy envisioned, but she just does not look the part.
And I don't understand. Mark was waffling. Like, he was into her, then he wasn't, then he was, then he wasn't. Yeah. That's the...
Well, I mean, it's... Listen, he's like all men. I mean, he sees a booby. It's appeal. It's fun, right? Everyone loves a booby. But then you're like, I really shouldn't do this. It's my... You know, you're engaged to my friend. But then, more boobies. And I it's just, hard to say no.
I never thought
he was... Are you speaking from experience here?
Yeah.
I never thought he was abstaining because of his friendship, though. I just think he was like waning interest. Like it was.
I think it's solely because of his friendship with Tommy that holds him up.
We're talking about the character, right? Not the man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, a little bit of both, but yeah. No, because of the character there. So, and then they got and then they end up having sex on the stage.
Because it's been 5 minutes since anybody had sex in this film.
You know, 2 years later on a History of Violence. Maria Bello demanded padding during the sex scene on the stairs that she filmed with Viggo Mortensen. And my God, if a sex scene ever needed padding, maybe she saw this beforehand. It's like, yeah, if I'm going to be fucking on the stairs, I need something to help my back.
Pause. I mean, I have never seen whatever you're talking about, but the thought of... Like, Viggo Mortensen banging someone on stairs sounds delicious. What is that from?
A History of Violence. It was Maria Bello.
Never gonna look this shit up.
It's a good one.
It's a really good movie.
I've never heard of this.
Ed Harris is in it.
He's great in everything.
William Hurt is in it. Rest in peace.
You mean John Hurt?
No,
William Hurt.
Because John Hurt also passed away.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, but yeah. William Hurt is now no longer with us either.
Oh my God.
All right, so.
Okay.
Yeah. I seriously am still trying to remember where I first. Saw this movie. I think I rented it on Netflix, but I forget the inspiration that caused me to seek it out. It might have been a recap website that exists around the early aughts. Does anybody remember the Agony Booth?
Yes, I remember the Agony Booth.
What an Agony Booth is.
It's still around, I think, but most of it's hidden behind a paywall. But back in the early 2000s, it was basically a riff summary of any given movie, and instead of being like a live recording, it was like a essay.
Yeah, screenshots and like just things that I remember. I can't remember what movie the first one I saw, but I used to read that. Mm-hmm. I was an avid.
I watched this very early on before people were riffing it. This was, I mean, like before people really, really started getting into it. The Plaza showed this. Very early in its infancy.
Did Tommy pay for it?
No. It was, at the time, it was part of our mission to show really obscure independent films. At the time, Johnny Ray and Gail would have owned the theater. Mm. And so, they were, and Shane Morte was doing Spook Show and stuff. So we were showing very bizarre stuff. And you'd have Rocky in the downstairs theater, and upstairs you would have at the same time, either Big Lebowski or Heavy Metal or The Room. And so, we were doing double features.
I remember seeing Only God Way. Forgives back in 2009, which definitely fits that mission, if you remember that movie.
Yeah, we did, so it's one of those things that I remember seeing extremely early on when people were just telling a joke or two and they were only throwing a couple spoons. When they would see the framed spoon, and that was it. But, things have since advanced.
And that's when I came in, because I only saw this movie the first time a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
Now, the weird thing about this movie is you're not sure when the setting is specifically. It came out in 2003, but everything looks like it could be from the 80s, which normally I would just...
I think it's the ill-fitting suits, because everybody looks like they have shoulder pads.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that makes you think this is an older film is just because there's no cell phones. Everything else about it's fairly modern. Oh, we're at the flower shop scene. So this is a great scene, number one, because it has a pug.
Hot doggy.
It has a pug. Number two, it has a lesbian florist.
Oh, that's the part I was going to read for in the live reading.
Oh, was it?
Yes, I would like to play that part, please.
So just so you know, when he actually went into this gift shop, it's a real shop, and that's the real owner that you just saw. He asked her, was it real? And she goes, what is real? He goes, the dog. He thought the dog was a robot, y'all.
Oh.
He thought that was a robot pug. And then I was like, I want a robot pug. So, but you know.
Well, it
that
barely would have been a great moves sequel. In the movie, so.
Return of the Robot Pug.
It barely moves in the movie, so it's like...
Well, it's accurate to a pug, trust me.
Well, anyway, I was trying to say earlier, David Lynch does the same thing with his stuff. I mean, you watch Blue Velvet. It came out in the 80s. It looks like it takes place in the 50s.
Yeah. So that used to be one of our showings that we did above Rocky in the midnight shows.
Ooh.
We would do Blue Velvet in the tiny theater upstairs.
Damn it, why wasn't I at one of those?
I'm telling you, the Plaza was banging with these weird-ass films, like the late 90s, early 2000s. Actually, you know, I guess maybe George actually still would have been in the theater then. So George was showing really obscure shit. Johnny and them were showing obscure shit. And then Mike, took over, and he is really, really brilliant businessman. He saved the theater, but that's because he actually showed things that were more modern and people wanted to watch. But yeah,
we can try and bring the weird stuff back.
We can bring a little weird back. Now that they've renovated and the upstairs theater has been cut into two theaters.
Ooh,
so now there's a total of three screens at the Plaza.
Wow.
Yeah, very excited about that.
Oh boy, well, that is, no. Work.
You don't like that idea?
Not a fan.
Oh.
How big are the theaters?
They seat 50 apiece.
Yeah. So show El Topo up there one day.
Yeah.
Why not? Show the weird stuff.
We will show the weird stuff. That's the goal, is show the weird stuff. Show the independent stuff. All the movie makers here in Atlanta that have nowhere else to show their stuff.
Mm.
So that's the goal. So we're back to the film. We're back. And you know, Tommy brought in some flowers because, again, it's supposed to show him as being this really great person. He's so kind. He's so doting on her.
Well,
and she's just a cunt. She's just a cheating cunt. And you're like, why don't you like Tommy? And everyone else seems to like him.
Well, if he's so great, how come he didn't get that big promotion at the bank?
Why didn't he get that promotion?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I could talk about the flower buying scene for the rest of the podcast.
I already talked about the fact that it was a real lesbian and the dog thing. The fact that was a real dog.
All right, I'm convinced on one of those things, but how are you sure that was a real dog?
Well, because it was the only thing Tommy had to act with naturally. I will say, what's so funny to me about the two scenes juxtaposed is that in that scene, they literally are overcutting each other. The sound is cut out so they're on top of each other because the that costs $18. Here's your change. It's on top of each other. Meanwhile, this scene takes forever as she's pouring vodka into scotch.
Scotchka.
And having a pizza, which looks terrible. I mean, it is.
Do you remember the order? Half pineapple and Canadian bacon, and then half
pepperoni.
Half pesto. I think it was like
that's an all cheese pizza. That is a cheese pizza. It makes me want to throw spoons at my TV. he didn't get his promotion. Why does he look like someone who's auditioning for hosting at SNL? Like, the suit is too big.
The suits are consistently too big in this movie. The scene where they're all playing football in their tuxes, there's not one that is wearing one that fits. They must have been sponsored by some big and tall men's store.
I think he bought them off the rack from like a discounter. You can use these because I can't afford
So Tommy was so just went up to a clothing store. It's like, the good coats are in the back. Go down the alley. No. Down the alley.
So
rest in peace, Paul Sorvino.
Now, you know, R.I.P. You've read the script.
Yes.
Okay. Is this where the rape scene happens? Like, do you remember any of this? Because this is such a weird, out of nowhere, very drunk.
No, this is not what happens.
By
the beginning.
No, because again, it's not Tommy. It's Mark.
Oh no, I meant I thought the idea was there was originally someone else in the scene,
Tommy
falls asleep or something.
No, it's
It's the same structure of a movie. It's just a rape instead of consensual.
Yeah.
But
she's still into it.
Of course it is.
I mean,
so none of that would work. None of this works anyway. Can you imagine?
All right, I have the exact pizza order on hand. It's half Canadian bacon and pineapple, half artichoke with pesto, and light on the cheese.
Yep.
That was just a cheese pizza from Domino's.
The half-eaten pizza later is seen as plain cheese pizza.
That's your favorite nipple. That's her better nipple.
I told you, her right nip is the star of the show.
John.
Didn't she only agree to film one sex scene, so they just kept reusing clips?
Oh, this is 100% the same sex scene.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with the rose and everything. Jesus Christ.
No, it's literally, and this time it's slower, and this time it's different music.
With the song, You Are My Rose.
All right, which person on the soundtrack was on American Idol? That's not a trivia question. My understanding is there is somebody who contributed a demo to this that ended up on American Idol later.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't doubt it.
William Hung.
Oh, holy. Hit bangs!
Our original theme song was someone I saw in East Atlanta when I was doing reviews for Creative Loathing. Mm. And they said, sure, use it, because the band was bringing up, they didn't care. But then the guy ended up represented by Universal, and they're like, and so we have another theme song and have to deal with the rights. So I believe it. Like, if you're just a studio musician, you might end up being like, getting your big break. sorry, I'm just... Again, the movie's on in the background, and it just tickles me to no end that this is continuing to happen.
Oh, yeah, she's sitting on the stairs now. It's that scene. And she's talking about her mother again.
Oh, is this when her mother casually reveals that she has breast cancer? Yeah, you know.
I have breast cancer. I'm sure it's going to kill me. Her monologue here should be taught in high school.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in a high school drama class, don't do You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. Just do this.
No. Let me know. And when we do the fantasy reading of the script that I have, I'm her.
Oh, this is blocked. This is blocked like a high school play. Yes. I mean, everybody, it's all in one scene.
It's one room.
Everybody always exits by saying, I'll be back later.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
and you welcome the room, you say goodbye to the room, you welcome hello to everybody.
Yes.
He introduces the characters as he's entering the scene. Oh, hi, Danny. And other than that weird, fairly homoerotic scene where they're jogging and playing football in the middle of Golden Gate Park, it's all either on a rooftop or in this room. So you can do everything pretty much here. There's that one alley shot, which you can do in the same room. But like, I was worried we didn't have anything to say or too much to say. We kind of have both, which is great. I love the fact that at this point, he got drunk and he hit me is what's going on. And the mom's like, but he's so good to you.
Oh, he financially takes care of you. That's more important than love. Obviously.
Violence.
Violence or anything.
Did we establish what she does for a living ever in this
movie? Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
She moves from one couch to the other and complains about her boyfriend. We also don't get what Greg's doing all day. Or Mark, excuse me. All we see is with tiny sunglasses and then banged her in one of the most uncomfortable sex scenes we've ever seen.
Isn't Mark supposed to be a drug enforcement officer or something?
She's supposed to be in computers.
She is in computers.
Yes, she is in computers.
She works at a radio shack.
Is that?
I was going to guess cyber sex operator.
And when
working in the cyber sex mines.
Like Roscoe's Modern Life?
That's right. Roscoe's Modern Life.
Damn,
shit, the Tito's is kicking in, y'all.
That's okay.
Oh, it's Michelle and Mike. Oh, I love these two.
Mike have the best blowjob face of all time?
Yes, he does. Yeah. That's his own face.
Wait, is that Mark McGrath as Mike?
You know, we have Mark McGrath at home.
Mark
McGrath. Made for TV Mark McGrath.
Yes.
When you order your Mark McGrath off Wish.
That's right.
I love that you just don't know who these people are.
Oh, no. You have no idea who any of these people are. The psychologist friend at one point just gives up on the movie, best we can tell.
Well, what about the guy that, like, exposes Lisa at the party? Like, he just randomly shows up. I'm like, who are you?
So he is the psychologist character.
Recast.
The guy quit.
Oh, okay.
And they recast it as the same person.
Well, if I recall from Disaster Artist, actually, he was told it would take 3 weeks to film.
Yeah.
And he had been there 2.5 months, and he had another film shoot.
Yeah,
like, he's filming a commercial. And so he said, they just recast him and didn't give him a name?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Oh, boy.
He's a bad guy because he has an itty nipple and chest hair. Tommy Wiseau has waxed every inch of his body, except for his beautiful mane.
I mean, listen, if you're gonna be hairy, go all in.
Ooh.
Either all in or nothing, baby. Let's see it. Come on. Whoa, put that away. Stop, I'm tempting Christine.
All right, I'm sorry.
I was working on Sunsy myself.
You can't tempt what you already got.
Hey. Hey! I love this world where no one locks the door.
No.
No. I also like the idea that everyone has a sex house, because this...
Well, it is San Francisco.
Classic East Coast elitism.
Here's a pineapple out front.
Actual blue blood.
Oh, my goodness. I also... First of all, the mom is the greatest character who's ever been.
I tell you, she's the vet club. That is the shit.
I just love her way of saying goodbye. Boop.
But she also just enters scenes randomly.
Yeah, and immediately leaves.
But here's it's the same thing with Denny, because Denny shows up, and he's like, I need to see Johnny. Is Johnny here? And he goes, no, but he'll be here soon. And he goes, I have to go. And she's like, he was going to be here soon. Yep. He could have been here any moment.
Well, no, but he asked for some sugar first. She's like, don't you have a kitchen in your house? Like, Claudette is the shadiest fucking... The only way the show could be better is if Claudette was played by a drag queen.
First of all...
Would Claudette be played by? Bianca Del Rio.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, in terms of drag queens?
Yeah. Yes.
Kellyanne Conway.
Oh. I actually was thinking Bea Arthur before she passed would have been perfect.
Oh, yeah, Bea Arthur would have slayed this. Yeah,
18 years old at this point.
Stritch.
I just yes, totally.
I just want to say, Claudette dresses like she's running Elizabeth Warren's latest campaign.
you.
You know when you want to let people know you're in charge, but feels so little sexy.
Oh, Claudette's got that in spades.
Oh, his underwear.
Oh, the underwears. Oh, the underwears.
I will say, if they ever made someone came back and did, I mean, the disaster artists already exist, like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Ardette-esque thing, I want to hear about her and her friends, because everyone's trying to steal, is dying, everything around her, and she shows up to deal with her daughter for 45 seconds, leaves the scene, even though she's being abused by her fiancé, she's dying of cancer, and then she leaves and comes back with a different outfit. It's amazing. The structure to this is and then we have to reestablish San Francisco every 45 seconds.
I'm just trying to think of who the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern would be of this franchise.
It's the mom and Denny.
I think it's Chris R. I think it's the drug dealer. I wouldn't know a day in his life.
I mean,
speak of the devil. Yeah. We're at the part where he just showed up. Yeah. Which, at the screening I went to way back in the day, there were two cosplayers
there.
That's
right. We used to do a costume contest. That's right. And the Chris R is always an easy one. Lisa with her, the tie around her head, and then red dress sexy Lisa. Those are always popular ones.
Did anybody ever dress as a spoon?
No. No one was ever a spoon. Even though I did, at one time I was bringing 5 and 6 giant plastic bins full of spoons for people to throw. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was so out of control that at the end of the show, whoever could pick up the most spoons, because I would hand out plastic bags and brought them up to me, I would weigh them, and whoever picked up the most would get the framed spoon for the night. I would frame a spoon, and it was my way of getting people to clean up the theater.
I remember that.
Yes, that was me. That was us. See, we were doing dumb shit together, and we didn't even know.
Dumb shit together, but never even knowing is the subtitle of your autobiography.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's the one. That's the sequel to Behind the Curtain.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
done.
No. Okay. So the one about you and medicine is Behind the Curtain, and the other one is Behind the Scenes.
Yeah.
The one of you as the MC is Behind the Scenes.
Definitely.
It's like someone posted to me.
Yeah. We're backstage.
We're recording the week of San Diego Comic-Con, and someone posted that they're bringing back Frasier tossed salad and Frasier scrambled eggs. That's all I'm thinking about now is your two side spinoffs.
I'm here for it.
Two sides of you.
Yeah.
Did anyone ever show up at the costume contest as Lisa's right boob?
No, one of my favorite things ever was JLP showed up. This is when I first met them, actually. They came as the lesbian flower shop owner with a thing that looked like a table in front of them.
Oh, like
with a stuff pug.
Oh,
and the flowers
nice.
On it. It was so funny. I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to be friends now.
Like one of the old cigarette.
Yes, it was exactly. And it was so popular, they went to Dragon Con that way.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they got like a ton of photos.
Oh man, I'm gonna get a haircut. I've got the Denny haircut here.
Yeah, I like it. Your hair looks good long like that.
Thank you.
It's fun. You look like the cool teacher. I feel like, as a gay student, I can hang out in your classroom early before homeroom.
Just to get some pot. Just to get some pot.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Apparently, my first job, they used to call me Indiana Jones.
Because you kept having sex with women much younger than you and took them on adventures that put them in danger?
That's very weird, but I'm a teacher now.
The school system says no to that. No.
The school system's like, what?
No.
But they didn't say no to Indiana Jones. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but those...
listen, we need the dog Indiana. He's Junior. Everyone knows that.
Good point.
Junior.
By the way, I rewatched No Time to Die on a Plane recently, and I still don't get that movie.
Oh, dude, I was so mad on that episode. Anyway, The Room. You know who's not a character? Okay, so The Rooftop.
Yeah.
We got to talk about it just for half an hour. The Rooftop is a rooftop.
Yeah.
But it's also decidedly not on fire.
But it's also a green screen.
Yeah, it's a very bad green screen.
Everything about this is bad green screen. At the moment, I mean, we've all had phone sex before. Like, sorry.
But Nick, I thought you weren't going to talk about that on mic.
No, but like, everything about this is filmed. Like you said, David Duchovny earlier, this is like a Red Shoe Diary. But it's done, like, at least with Cinemax.
Except I don't have to pay extra for it.
And you'd think Cinemax would pay for Titty Shop.
Right.
Like, I'm sure, like, I right now, as the romance is blossoming, Mark is calling out Lisa. And he's lit three candles, and now...
It's actually the opposite. Lisa calls him. She's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you like this? Like,
I've lit my masturbation candle. What are you doing?
He doesn't get it. But then he hangs up, and then by the time the next day rolls around, he's had some time to make a deposit or two in the spank bank, and now he's considering maybe fucking his friend's girl. You know, I mean, listen, we've all been there.
How does someone make a withdrawal from the spank bank?
I'll show you after the show.
Oh, there you go.
For those of you who don't realize, this is a dual episode, because you can listen along with us, and you can watch along with us,
you
can do one or the other, but we're at my favorite scene in the entire movie, everyone's favorite scene, because it feels like Tommy Wiseau is at his most alien. He throws a water bottle in disgust in front of a green screen of smog over San Francisco. Yeah. The cathedral's in the background. And if you notice, every establishing shot of the city from this balcony is different.
Yes.
Hi, Mark. He reboots like a fucking computer, and it tickles the hell out of me. And they're playing football on top of a roof because I assume he wants to kill everyone he loves.
Quite possibly.
I would say what's telling about this roof scene is the fact that Mark then goes into talking about a hooker that was beat up on Guerrero Street, and they think it's hilarious. I'm like, domestic violence!
What a story, Mark.
Exactly. And his pockets are so full, I think they're full of tots. All I can think of is Napoleon Dynamite, and I think Tommy's pockets are full of tots. So... he's got cargo pants full of tops, and I want in on that.
I mean, obviously, at least to me, I don't know. I have not been in the mind of Wiseau. This to me seems all biographical. Like there was a Lisa, or something. But you gotta have a friend. I'm sorry, I love you, buddy. You need to have a friend to tell you to wear pants like an adult. He doesn't look like a person. He looks like he came to Earth and saw what JNCOs were in 1982. This came out in 2003, the year I graduated from a high school. That's how old this is.
So you dressed like Tommy Wiseau back in the day.
I was in a uniform. I was high and tight.
Ah, just the one belt then?
I saw that thing.
That's how he used to go by the same name.
Oh, fuck.
And by used to, I mean yesterday.
Girl.
Oh, girl.
We have fun here at Biopia.
We are friends.
Oh, we are so friends.
Berryman.
Oh, hi, Danny.
Oh, hi, Nicholas.
All right.
And now we're doing this PSA where Danny's talking about from boy to man. And Tommy's explaining to him what that's like, and love, and pubes.
Well, we got to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because we have no establishment on who he is other than a potential serial killer. He looks like young Brett Dourif. And he's talking about how he wants to just kiss Lisa.
Obviously Denny is the Section 8 that lives in their building, right? So he's somehow getting some assistance to live independently, but he has no parents, and they look out for him like parents. So they've established that earlier in the film. In fact, Lucy goes, yes, we look at you like Tommy's like a father to you. And at that moment, Tommy does maybe the strangest orgasmic face I've ever seen. Kind of love it, kind of hate it. It's creepy at the same time. But yeah, so that's the thing.
Frankly, I don't want to hear how a conversation about the birds and bees would go with Tommy Rousseau.
I think more kids will listen.
Oh, hi, Dennett. When a man and picture of Dolly Parton love each other very much.
He's not wrong. Dolly.
Hello, Dolly.
Hello, Dolly. Yeah.
But it's also like, the problem is, you can't cast, this isn't Melrose Place or Beverly Hills 90210. You can't cast someone who looks like he's 35 to be the guy who says he likes to watch in the first scene of the movie.
Yeah, and I was trying to figure out who he liked.
He's supposed to be 16, by the way.
Who, Danny?
Danny, yeah.
Okay.
Then why the hell did he need, like, half a stick of butter? What 16-year-old wants that?
Hungry ones? People who want to bake a fucking cake?
16-year-olds have access to microwaves. That's all I'm going to say.
Not 19.
You still need butter in a fucking microwave.
So we're at the scene where the girls are dishing, and if one of them wasn't wearing a jean jacket, you couldn't tell them apart.
I swear this is Christine and Candace talking about us off mic.
This is absolutely us. Yes. See you now. The question is, which one is which?
So here's the thing. No. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Apparently, when he was casting it like a play, so everyone had a backup.
Yeah.
And the original Lisa quit, so they were the backups for each other. That's why they look so similar.
Oh, nice.
So it would be more like my wife and you were both playing Candace, and you were arguing each other after a dye job. And so you were both kind of the same blonde coloring. That's what it was.
Well, that sounds amazing, because your wife's got good titties and thighs. So if we're in the same category, I am here for it. Let's do it. Sign me up, bitch.
But that's why they're even wearing the same color palette?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. See, I love this because I feel like I know so much about this film. So I've done it with all the actors and blah, blah, blah. I learned something new about the room tonight. This is why this is such an endearing film. Because every time you think you know everything about it, you're fucking wrong. Here's some more weird shit. You're like, thank you for serving me more weird shit. Thank you.
Well, and I mean, like, here's the thing. I don't do really bad passion project movies because it's too easy to make fun of. I don't do intentionally bad things on this podcast because that's not the point.
Yeah.
That's why canon is the sweet spot, because they're trying. They know it's kind of silly, but they go for it. This is weird. I'm okay with doing this because of Greg Sestero.
Yeah.
Because he's a part of this. He knows what it is. And he's the one who's translated this for us. So let's go.
Yeah.
And like, I just hope that Tommy's fine. Don't worry about Tommy. In fact, I wish he would take it back a bit, because now he's like six things in. They all fall apart. Everyone else he works with says he's a pain in the ass to work with.
Like Tim and Eric.
Among others. He's had like six other side projects that have fallen through because no one likes working with him. That's why I like Sestero and all this, because he came out the other end saying, like, you know what? I can tell you a story.
Yeah. It's the only reason this worked is because they were friends first.
Yeah.
And so he felt obligated to help him with this. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely. Because anybody else who like doesn't know him intimately and they're not friends, they're going to be like, fuck this. I'm not doing this. This is just exhausting, right?
Were they really friends?
I thought
Tommy was just Greg's benefactor when Greg moved out to L.A.
Well, I think they became friends. Because, like,
if you were a roommate with someone and they were really helping you out in every aspect of your life the first 6 months in a brand new city, I think you would naturally kind of become friends just anyways. I mean,
well, but I think the other side of it's true. I think Tommy eventually needed Greg as as someone who exists in this world. He seems like a dude who has never been grounded before, and now he's grounded. And I will say too, we paint Johnny as though he's a regular. he does shove Lisa really hard several times. That's something my wife pointed out, which I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, I just saw that.
This movie, Tommy clearly envisioned like Leonardo DiCaprio or some A-lister to be in this, because everyone's not a person, they're like a Hollywood stereotype. So
he was the best. You there. He thinks he's James Dean. It's even in that delivery. Like
you're tearing me apart.
You're tearing me apart! Like, that is so... Brando in, like,
And if Lisa's getting in his face, though, too, I mean, here's the deal. Ladies, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Don't think just because you're a woman, someone's not going to haul up and whoop your ass if you're trying to fight somebody. All right? If you want to fight, you're going to fight. It doesn't matter what's in their pants. Fight is on. I'm just laying out that groundwork.
I mean, pants.
Pants? Who needs pants anyways? Pantless fighting.
That's I would like to advertise to you my underwear.
Yeah, which, by the way, on a separate pantless note, Daniel, I looked up, what does it take to make a mug cake in a microwave? And the answer is flour, sugar, salt, butter, and milk. So that is obviously what Danny was trying to cook.
Or he was trying to jerk off with butter. Also, he had just been watching Lisa... I mean, the improv skills. Luckily, there's a webcam in here.
Is that what's also in the bathroom?
No.
Okay, I put that in there. I'm sorry.
I knew it.
This is a reminder, sign up for our OnlyFriends account.
OnlyFriends. Yes, let's create that.
Oh, OnlyFriends. Nice. Like it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, we're playing that. Oh shit. We're now in the back alley. Just playing a little hot potato with the football.
Yeah, what's up with that? Wusso's obsession with football?
Because he's an American.
It's American.
I'm an American. Yeah. I like to play football.
I like how the fact that they're all in different clothing. Is it hot? Is it cold? You don't know.
It's San Francisco.
Is it summer? Is it winter?
It is San Francisco.
One's got a long sleeve sweater, the other one's a fucking tank top.
Oh, this is when San Francisco. Michael gets the mystery.
I'm like, oh, that's all right. Michael saw it. Just give him a good blowjob.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. He fell down and he needed medical assistance. Yeah.
I will also say I've seen backgrounds in SNL skits that are more realistic.
Oh, yeah.
Like the balsa wood lines up or whatever. Oh, hi, Danny. We'll go smoke some oregano.
What I love is that the fact that you found the need to make a fake set. I mean, you just go downstairs. There's brick.
Yeah.
Oh, they filmed in the park already. Like.
Yeah. We have an infamous shot of the spoon. On the table, there is a framed spoon for those of you who have not seen this film. It is a fan favorite. Every time the spoon is in frame, people throw plastic spoons, much like throwing rice at Rocky Horror, things like that. But good theater etiquette, your spoon should always go up and back down, and up and back, never forward towards the screencaster stage.
Yeah, never throw the stage, otherwise Kid Cudi will stop performing.
It's true. If you hit the theater screen, someone will come out and whoop your ass.
Some people have said they've seen Old Faithful, and that's a beautiful sight. I've seen 100 people throw spoons up in the air when they see a spoon in the room. Nothing compares.
No, you're right. It really doesn't. It's beautiful.
Nothing compares to Kenneth hosting a show.
Nothing compares.
Daniel, this is just for you. Rio.
Huh?
You need to come to a show dressed as the Tick, and so you can yell spoon and throw spoon.
I could actually
get away with being the Tick.
Spoon. I will say too. We just established something in the movie. If you're watching along with us, Tommy Wiseau on the spiral staircase, which is the worst idea who's ever been. In the scene originally, when Mark is just relentlessly pounding Lisa on the spiral staircase.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
If anyone opened the front door, you just see his balls slapping because it's a spiral staircase inches away from the front door.
I mean,
and no one looks, apparently. Because Tommy was there as they were walking in and out the door and saying that she was cheating on him with Mark.
Mark wasn't there right now. It's because, you know, she's on the
floor. In general.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you were feet away from the bed, which is out of the way of the door. But when you're the
listen, way when passion takes you
on a spiral staircase,
The staircase is all you get to.
Maybe there's some symbolism there.
I mean, I've got to tell you, just from a lazy standpoint, I'd be like, I don't know, is that pussy really worth going all the way up the stairs for? No, by the third stair, that's enough.
That's fine.
You're saying she's three stairs worth of pussy?
Yes.
Okay.
Done. How many stairs of pussy would you give her?
When I give Lisa?
Yeah.
Maybe five tops.
Okay, all right. Christine?
Two for the boobs, and that's...
Okay, boobs, no puss.
Good boob. I will say, we've all skinned our knees before banging, but in general, the comfort of a bed does make it easier.
You know who says that? Old people, Nick. Only old people say shit like that, because when I was like 20 years old and fucking in the parking lot behind the Plaza, I didn't care about shit like that. Nowadays, I'd be like, yeah, I want my purple mattress. I paid $1,400 for it. I'm going to get my fucking use out of it. That's a lifetime guarantee.
I don't know why I'm laughing so much. I apologize.
And two, I'm with you 100%.
Right?
And we've been there. I've used couches. But the problem is, there's couches on the bottom floor.
Right.
And there's a bed upstairs.
Yeah.
So you're intentionally making it more difficult. And just back on the couch.
I mean,
is it for the effort?
They were supposed to go through it because remember, they left from the couch. They were gonna go upstairs, and it just overtook them. It just overtook them.
I mean, maybe you need just the risk of Tommy seeing the swinging balls between the stair slats.
I mean, listen, the whole reason he's fucking is because she's bored. So part of the appeal is the danger aspect. Listen, everybody has fucked someone, not because you actually love them in any way, but because you knew there was some kind of thrill about it.
Everybody,
you weren't supposed to be doing
fuck
it.
Someone in their own.
I mean, I'm just saying. Nobody at this table, obviously.
Oh, obviously not.
But our listening audience, I'm sure there's a couple of deviants amongst you.
Christine, why are you looking at me like that?
Stop touching Daniel. Stranger danger.
I'm looking at those plastic covered sofas.
Oh.
There are plastic covered sofas in Nick's basement, y'all. I feel like my grand-grand's house. So, you know, that's all right. You know what'll take my eye off these sofas? That fucking denim outfit. Yeah, Mark's got all denim. You know when you just want to wear all denim?
The Canadian tuxedo.
It is. Oh, I can't remember.
What's the deal? You've never heard of Canadian?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I know that.
Very formal.
That's cute.
Are they in the same world right now?
Mm-hmm.
It is the red room, because red represents the scene of the whore who cheated on me.
Yeah, you're back in, actually, Tommy's home.
Is it just me, or does Mark look like Luke Perry on that one episode of The Simpsons?
Absolutely.
Dude, there's a Beverly Hills 90210 sketch somewhere in all of it. It's so good. Also, I will say, the side character here, whose name couldn't be bothered, he has the greatest line of all time. People are people.
You mean the Thomas Dolby-looking
people
guy?
People are people.
Yeah.
I mean, I also love,
that's what happens when you get your psychology degree from the back of a magazine.
It's true. Actually, his name is Peter in the film, and he looks like Harry Potter.
I know my last reference was only 30 seconds ago, but you got your psychology degree from the Hollywood Upstairs Medical College, too?
Yeah. I'll say, my favorite here is that they're drinking water out of scotch glasses because Tommy brought in a bottle of Evian. So it's not even supposed to be vodka. We see the Evian bottle, yeah, come out. They didn't even do the sweet tea thing pretending it's alcohol, because the whole thing is that he is supposed to be sober, but he's not sober.
Yeah.
Or something. He's also dressed right now like Johnny Cash on like a bad day, so I can't.
Because
tell.
You are mine, Lisa. I walk the line.
I feel like he hurt himself today.
I feel like I'm tired.
Well, let's fast forward through some of this bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the last thing we need to talk about after all of this is
the birthday party.
Yeah. I want to make one stop before we get to the birthday party, which is them. I mean,
in
there's
the tuxedos?
A very
what's that? The tuxedo football.
I was going to say, exactly. There's one vaguely homoerotic scene where they are playing football, catch, and jogging simultaneously in Golden Gate Park. But the big thing is what I assume is supposed to be the photos for the wedding, and they're playing football.
How have we not mentioned the chicken dance that would make the Blues look at them like, what the fuck are you doing?
The Blues ripped this off. this is what the Blues are referencing. This came out 3 months before Arrested Development premiered.
Really?
Yeah.
And the creator said that?
I think so.
Oh, wow.
I could be wrong. One way or another. I got your chicken.
The money is in the banana stand.
Oh, hi, Mark. There's always money in the banana stand. Mr. F.
You've got her preparing for the party is the worst.
Oh, and surprisingly, the movie apparently cost $3 million, which...
Six.
$6 million, yeah. It was six. Because the question is, where did Tommy get $6 million?
I'm really good at sucking.
Well, I mean, the movie looks so low budget, but he had to pay to license Happy Birthday for that scene.
He didn't.
It wasn't in the public domain at the time. He didn't.
It's not. And he didn't. And he got in trouble for it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the last part of all of this is a birthday party. And Lisa, I mean, it's a surprise party. Which
she invited all my friends. Good thinking.
I'm not
You didn't invite murderous strangers?
I'm not even making jokes. I'm just talking like Tommy was so.
You're just filling your inner Tommy.
And here's the thing. Okay, I mean, we can play this game.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a really awkward, like, social, sexual situation? Doesn't have to be like, and I'm not talking about an affair, but like, just something like this. No? Because I can share mine, because I have one. But I was in high school. I had a buddy named Richard and his sister Meredith, who now is a happily married lesbian, so we can move past her any infatuation with me.
Oh.
Good. In case you're curious.
Thank you.
But she made a really awkward, like, moves, like, flirty moves.
Yeah.
And then, like, one time I came over, I mean, it was, like, 11th grade or something,
right.
So
yeah.
Sleeping over at his house. And she came back from, like, sports practice, saw me there, got embarrassed, took the paper towels with her to the bathroom to stuff her chest.
Oh.
And then, like, came over, sat in my lap, and stuck her boobs in my face for the rest of the night. And so it's
the fake boobs? With down paper towels?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
She wanted to be, like, you know.
It's cushiony.
It's what it is. Feel her up. Oh. And just paper moving out of the way. But it's just one of those things where you're just, like, I'm here to hang out with my friend, and we're watching Wild Wild West with Will Smith, and she's
yes!
I mean, that movie always makes
me...
That movie ended.
It always makes me horny, that movie.
It should. There's a bondage scene in it. Because remember, it's steampunk S&M. He's into bondage. The guy with the creepy little spider legs. I'm the first one to jump in and be like, hey, everybody, let's talk about bonding. And how to fix my bonding.
What's the actor's name? Kenneth Branagh, right?
Yeah,
Kenneth Branagh.
You think if I couldn't fix my legs, I couldn't satisfy a woman? And you're just like, and she's like grabbing my body crotch. I'm like, I've learned a lot today.
What crotch? He had no crotch in that movie.
Yes, but she never did. But it's just like the idea of like doing a closed door farce like that. See, again, if it was like a high school, if it's American Pie, it makes sense. But when you're an adult, you just like wait 7 seconds for other people to leave the room. Because the first thing someone does is come and go like, what are you doing? You make me sick. He's the most incredible man I've ever met. And you're just like, weren't you someone else in the previous scene?
Yeah, and then my favorite part is where she pretends to be pregnant.
Oh my god!
You forget about that?
It's Chicago, right?
Yeah, she's not too hard.
Right? Because she's like, you'll hurt the
baby. Oh, hi, Bob Fosse.
Again, this is every bitch I've ever known on Facebook who's bored. Every bitch who's bored, and she's like, I'm bored, what would you say if I said I was pregnant? I'm going to just sleep with your friend because I want to see what you'll do.
Like, oh my god.
People I got in high school too. I'm happily married, and that's why. Because I don't want any of this.
It's too much.
It's too much.
I know.
I might or might not have stories. I'm not going to say them on mic.
That's right. But like,
I have like 1,000 stories, but you guys got to buy the memoir. You got to pay for my fucking stories.
Behind the curtain.
That's right. Backstage and to the left. Backstage and to the left is my pause memoir.
Woo! You know what? I've already pre-ordered it.
The Kickstarter. It starts tomorrow. Backstage and to the left, followed by behind the curtain.
I just like the idea that, like, Candace and I will buy a bottle of Stoli, and I'll just be, like, popping her with interview questions, and she'll be recording. Like that's it. We'll just we'll pay some transcriber, and we'll just be like, all right.
Listen, you're the one with the doctorate. You're going to be making sure this is written properly. My job is to get drunk and tell you about the bad choices I made while not getting a doctorate.
Honestly, as somebody who's interviewed Candace for an article before, Nick, have you remember Interview with a Vampire, right? Because that's basically how it's going to go.
Oh, shit. Yes.
Well, 100%. And at the end, she's going to kill me and suck out my ass. Wait, let me try that again. She's going to kill me.
You were right the first time.
All right, so the end of this movie ends with hilarity ensuing.
It does. It ends with them having a Mark and Tommy get aggravated into a fight at the birthday party. Because now it's out for the world to know that Lisa's been having an affair, and they want to know who does the baby belong to. P.S. The baby doesn't even fucking exist. Claudette's beside herself. You know.
Because she's dying of cancer, and also...
Not because of the cancer. It's because the cancer is Lisa. Lisa is the fucking cancer in her life. The breast cancer is the least aggressive cancer cell in her fucking life right now. Just saying.
The least aggressive. Oh, okay. So at this point, they're first basing it at the party.
Yeah.
This poor woman playing Lisa, I feel like she's even more uncomfortable than Shelley Duvall in the set of The Shining.
Wait, I think I recognize you. And then she flashes her right tit. And you're like, oh, it's Lisa.
Exactly.
Oh, hi, Lisa. I didn't recognize your face.
You know, restaurants tell me, like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry, ma'am. No reservations tonight. You're like, right this way, ma'am.
We have a dancing table available.
Exactly. Right. Chef's table's available.
Sushi bar.
Mm-hmm. I'm a taco, please.
Girl.
Oh, God. So eventually, everyone leaves.
I'm turning up my ill-fitting suit.
Party gets awkward. And then Lisa goes and, you know, or actually Tommy goes upstairs. He's sad. And he's just like, I don't understand why you're sad. She's a cunt. Let's fast forward this. Let's keep going.
I mean, like, so.
Is it just me or does Tommy look like Michael Jackson circa 1997?
Was Michael still alive in 1997?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
So check in with our riff with the beautiful Pitsy doing us on Captain EO. Leading us through Captain
the Michael
EO.
Jackson experience.
Yes, yes. Right. I am an authority on Mr. Jackson.
That's true.
So you know how when you break up with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, the first thing you do is masturbate furiously into clothing of theirs? You know, like a person does?
I masturbate furiously into Candace's clothing, but she gives them to me, so
it's
I figure...
True. I mailed it in as part of our OnlyFriends package.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As a reminder, it's $19.95 a month. And how about you do one panty, two socks? That's Daniel's personal package.
To be fair,
and so it's extra kinky, she sends it via FedEx. Yeah.
To be fair, I did have to tip.
There's no discretion at all.
To be fair, I did have to tip.
If you had an OnlyFriends account that said labeled on the box and there's a picture of your cooch.
This is how I'm going to pay off my student loans, y'all. It's the greatest idea we've ever had. I love it. Okay, so Tommy's in a rage right now, y'all. He's very sad. He's very flustered.
His
fiance girlfriend, who he's been together for 5/7 years.
Oh, hi, Rosebud.
On the edit, if you watch. And by the way, he breaks the mirror. 7 years bad luck. That's how long he's known Lisa. You know, he's gonna lay here and be sad, and then I'm going to spoil it for you.
The latest My Chemical Romance album, it just tore me apart, Lisa. Yeah.
I am living a semi-charmed kind of life.
Oh, God, he's holding that fucking red dress that he got from, like, Ross or Marshall's.
Oh, yeah, this is the scene. Yeah, yeah. We're on the scene where he starts humping it.
With the right titty.
I'm telling you, her right titty is her best titty, y'all. Everyone has a best titty.
So we went through screen test after screen test. And we did the left one and then the right. It's just like left camera, right camera. Yeah. And then they were like, you know what, righty? Righty's going to be a star. Lefty's on.
She's all right. I mean, but, you know, she's not the star her sister is.
She's a supporting actress. A supporting actress.
So breast now supporting Tommy actress. Tommy has opened the box.
Oh, no.
That's okay. Tommy's opened the box, and there's a gun inside. And it's actually, you know, where have you gotten a gun? It's the gun that Chris R. had. They tried to shoot Penny with. And remember, Tommy's the one who got the gun away.
Oh, high evidence.
Yeah, so realistically, Denny's the reason Tommy's dead. So,
thanks,
but that
Denny.
Gun is clearly a BB gun.
It's, what? Is it?
Yeah, during the Chris R. scene.
Oh, well, it's a real gun at the end because Tommy...
Well, as a convicted
Tommy
felon,
kills
Tommy willed it.
Sadly, Tommy kills himself. And if you've ever been to a live showing... That's when the entire audience sings "Happy Birthday."
Oh, sweet release of death!
So twisted in every way, y'all. It's
really darkness, my old friend.
Exactly, it's really glorious and it's really sad. And then, of course, Lisa and Mark run upstairs because they're both so sad. They're crying, and then Mark looks at Lisa and he says, "You did this. You're the reason he's dead, you bitch." And it's glorious.
Harry Chapin's. Harry Chapin's Cats in the Cradle isn't nearly as sad.
Yeah, so Lisa ends up with neither man, and that is the end of the story.
Roll credits.
And then roll credits, and that's The Room.
And she sadly marries Denny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, you know, at least he's getting, like, a monthly check. At least his income to depend on.
Oh.
He's getting some sort of disability.
Oh, hi, St. Peter.
So, all right, so let's go around the table. What did everybody think about it? How you rate? Let's get rated.
Okay,
that's
so
y'all do this, right?
No. Let's back up. I mean, you're right, but I'm gonna start with a caveat. All of you, you've now seen it.
Yeah.
How should someone watch this for the first time?
It absolutely, in my opinion, now what it is. It needs to be just like Rocky Horror. You should not watch it beforehand. You need to watch it in a theater with a live showing, with friends, with yelling, even if you're not going to be able to hear everything, because it gives you that sense of fun. You can always go back and watch it yourself. Because the problem is if you just sit quietly and watch it with someone on your couch, you're not going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm saying it, because like, should you watch it, if you just pop it on, it's not the same.
It's not.
What about you, Fitzy?
Well, that's how I saw it. I saw it in the living room.
Weird, right?
Yeah. It just... Well, we fast-forwarded through some of it, actually, to be honest.
Exactly. So you didn't get all the treats, all the nooks and crannies that
but, I mean,
the room
you,
had to offer.
You do miss some of that excellent dialogue. I mean...
Yeah, no, I agree.
You don't. It's just welcomes and goodbyes. That's all you're missing.
Oh, hi, Brad. You got caught with a flat. What's a story, Brad?
Okay,
anyway, I first saw this, like I said, when I rented a DVD on Netflix, and it doesn't work like that. I mean, you turn the sound off, this could play in the background of any gym at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just a dumb
what
soap
gym
opera.
Are you going to?
Well, Gold Gym, when I was younger.
Is this a Planet Fitness kind of movie?
It's a Gold's Gym kind of movie.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, I mean, that's just, it looks stupid, and it is stupid, but what really sells it is the dialogue, and if you listen to it yourself...
What sells it is the dialogue. Stop it!
What sells it is a camp classic. I mean, thank you. Thank you for asking for clarification, Candace. Well, what would I do without you? But anyway,
give her a sentence.
That's really where the comedy is in the dialogue. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say, actually, you know what? No, let's wait for final thoughts for this.
Oh, this is final thoughts.
Okay. Do you remember when Farrah Abraham released an album?
No.
She did, and it was like auto-tuned out of hell, all to hell, and it was a spoken word album.
My dark teenage fan twist,
It was something like that, basically. It's the shittiest thing you've ever heard. But at the same time, it's because no thought was put into it. Like, if Radiohead had done that for a single, I'm convinced that would have been the most critically praised song of the year. It's kind of the same with The Room. If David Lynch were making this movie, it would be, like, in France, they'd say it's the best American film of the year, but since Tommy Wiseau did it and didn't have any idea what he was doing, it's still got that charm, but it's also got the charm of a guy just in way over his head, and he was, I think, genuinely trying to make the best film he could, but he was just no good.
I agree with that. I'd love to see this re-released in black and white as like a noir film, and I bet it would be really weird and existential.
Oh, hi, Danny. Is it like a tumbleweed rolls by?
Yeah. I feel like Wes Anderson would kill this movie.
Yeah.
He could. There'd be so much symmetry.
God damn it.
In color.
Oh, hi, Herman's Hermits. You're on the soundtrack. What a story.
So earlier on, I kind of exposited why I'm frustrated with this and confused. I don't want to make fun of someone who has a dream and is trying to make this. But this is almost too weird. I want you to see this. Now, I want to argue with Kent, not argue, disagree with Candace. I always think the first time you should watch it is with a group of people who've seen it before or riff tracks, because otherwise you miss why other people love this. Right? Like, if you take someone who only speaks Spanish to see Rocky Horror, they'll have fun, but they won't understand why. You need someone to understand what's going on. Now, I don't put it past Wiseau or Sestero or anyone to like being in this, because a passion project is a passion project, even if it's garbage. Upstairs in my front hallway, we have something from Our Land, a local artist who took the missing cat posters from downtown Atlanta and made one of the greatest pieces of folk art I've ever seen. Oh. And like, is it bad? Is it good? It doesn't matter. It's what he made. The problem is this became a cult following. And the problem with this movie is it's bigger than the people who made it. When you lose control of a narrative, it all falls apart.
Well, and that's why they sold it. I mean, that's why Tommy doesn't run it anymore.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, it doesn't?
I worry that.
No, Riff Tracks owns this entirely. No. Tommy has no control over this anymore.
That's why I think that the person we should reference of all this is Greg Sestero, because he's the only one who has control over his own image anymore.
That's true.
And I think he's the one who gets what it is. And I just worry. I don't know. I like this. That's why we did this, why we agreed to it. But it's the only kind of movie like this I think we could ever do. We can't do a lot of these because it feels like it's abusive to the actors and the people involved. This is the room. And at the end of the day, that's why we're doing it. So thanks for listening, subscribing, doing what we do, allowing us to do what we do. Thanks for supporting us for 399 episodes.
Oh, good God.
Oh, my gosh.
Along with my two comedian friends,
Fitzy and Candace. We're in friends.
And the buddy of mine who's been on the most of these episodes.
Oh, hi, Nicholas.
We've been grateful for you guys for listening for 399. Next week is 400. And if you are in the metro area, join us in the great Atlanta Theater, the Plaza, to watch Cineprob start doing some nonsense once again.
That's right. And if you love The Room as much as we do, and if this comes out beforehand, the Plaza will be hosting The Room on Saturday, September the 10th, and Greg Sestero will be there as well to help host.
That's right. And presumably then you too.
Probably. You never know.
We never know.
You never can tell, kid.
Could be a surprise cast. You don't know.
That's right. Candace, like a ghost or a ghoul, will just appear. The ghast. Candace, yeah. They're narrating you taking a, you know, cooking dinner or something.
It could be.
Thank you, everyone. We love you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.